And we've come to chapter 4, and chapter 4 of Hebrews. And today we're going to talk about the subject of entering spiritual rest. There are probably some things in the passage today that will remind us of things that we know and yet didn't know that it applied to this subject. It's kind of like that. And so I noticed that as I was preparing for this message. You know, I don't know how many of you are great swimmers. How many of you swim like a rock? I don't know. You know, it's just one of those things that seems to be and everything in between. But I've never been a lifeguard, and people have never asked me to be one because I am in the towards the rock category. Now, I could probably save myself, maybe. But if you're in trouble, we better call somebody. But I understand from people who are lifeguards that it's very difficult to save someone who's drowning until they stop trying to save themselves. You know that, right? You've heard that. If you go to try to save somebody and they're still got a lot of energy and they're still flailing about, they'll take you with them. So I've already decided ahead of time I'm not going out there. So I'm going to send somebody else because I don't want to go down too. But I send somebody else because I want you also to be safe. But so this is a picture I want you to keep in mind as we go through the message today of that drowning person trying to save himself. That's a picture of a lot of things when we talk about rest today. So you say, well, we're going to talk about rest. What's that got to do with that? I'm glad you asked. Let's define what we're talking about today. Now, this is kind of one of those things where I'm going to tell you all this stuff that we're going to talk about later, and you're going to forget that I told you. That happens every Sunday. Rest defined, ceasing from works, having peace with God and the peace of God. This is a definition of rest. Being eternally secure in Christ. That's rest. Trusting Christ totally. Especially for salvation. That's rest. So the illustration, the drowning person, when they just stop and let the person save them, that's when they've come to rest. That picture of resting. Stop trying to save yourself and let Christ save you. Well, this is what we're going to talk about today, and what a passage it is. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and following, as we go through all the way to verse 13. I want to read the entire passage, and then we'll come and look at parts of it as we go through. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, and both of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So that's the entire passage. That's a lot. That's a lot to chew on. So let's jump into this. Rest is obtained by faith. Now remember, rest is stopping and ceasing from works to save yourself. That's what all of this that I just read is about. You say, well, Pastor, it seemed a little complicated as you read through it, but it really is not. The whole Bible is about, from Genesis to Revelation, is about this subject of God redeeming mankind, God saving people who cannot save themselves. Some familiar passages here. Rest is obtained by faith. There's a fear of coming short. He said, don't fear you'll come short of being saved because you're trying to save yourself. You come short of it. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We cannot save ourselves. It's impossible. We are sinful. Beyond repair until Christ dies for us and pays the price for us. Faith opens the door in the book of Revelation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. So Jesus knocks at the door. You open the door, invite him into your life, and he comes to have a relationship with you. So let's look at verses 1 and 2. What I just said, it says, it does say. Therefore, let us fear. If while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to come short of it. This is a fear. We need to have fear of God. We need to have a reverence for God. We need to have a fear that we might not make it. Say, well, Pastor, you're scaring us. I know. I think it's a good idea. Do you know I don't want to give anybody a false assurance, but also don't want to give anybody doubts about a salvation that they have in Christ. But if I were going to do a disservice to you, I'd rather scare you silly than make you think you're all right when you're not. So I'll just scare you silly for a little bit. You ought to be afraid to die if you're not sure where you're going when you die. I mean, that's really what I want everybody to feel. So, Pastor, you want people to be afraid? Yes, I do. That will get you focused on what you need to focus on. Most of the times, people fear things because they've never experienced it. Death is one of those things. So, well, I've never done that before, so I'm afraid what that's going to be like. What's going to happen the moment I die? And we think about it, and we're scared because we don't know what that's going to be like. And the Bible gives us indication about things, and the greatest indication is that if you're in Christ, you move from here into his presence. You will be with him forever. You need not fear death. Death is a doorway into the presence of God for those who are believers. But let us fear if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. That is, God provides the open door for you and you don't walk through it. There's a way for you to enter into his rest, but you decide to continue working and you will not rest. For indeed we have good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Could this happen today, that somehow by the silliness of this preacher, because you know to the world is foolishness what I'm doing right now, and do you know all the technological advances, except for the apparatus that I have to amplify my little voice, this is the way it was done a long time ago. This is the way it'll be done till Jesus comes. Some silly man gets up and preaches the gospel of Christ and somebody comes to know Jesus. Could it be that you would hear over and 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 over again and still not enter into his rest? It isn't the person that just showed up and never been to church before that surprises me the most. It's the one that's been here all along. And so, well, I'm just wandering around in the wilderness like we talked about last week. And these are the people that heard, but they didn't trust. They didn't believe. And so that's sad. Now, here's something fascinating about this illustration. It's been around a long time. Look at this. Rest is offered from the beginning in verse 3. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. And so, well, wait a minute. If you believe, you enter his rest. If you don't believe, you do not enter his rest. Belief is the thing that makes the difference. It isn't that, oh, you have more sins than you have good works, and now the sins have outweighed your good works. Or maybe you think you have good works, and you're a pretty good person. You haven't killed anybody. You know, I don't know why they jumped to that one first. Like, I've never killed anybody. I said, wow, that's exciting. I'm glad to know that, especially if I'm standing too close to you. Were you having thoughts, you know? So, you notice they don't ever say, well, I've never lied. And they don't ever say that. So you're not so good after all, are you? So people, it is not the sins that you've committed that keep you from heaven. It's your believing in Christ who paid for your sins. He paid the price. He opened the door. But you must enter into that rest, that ceasing from your work, ceasing from trying to earn God's favor, ceasing from thinking in your belief system that you can be good enough somehow. Maybe God will let you in if you're good enough. You'll never be good enough. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Falling short of the glory of God is the boat that we're all in. The boat has a hole in. Get out of it. And that is ceasing from your works. And he says, I swore in my wrath they will not enter my rest. If you do not believe, you will not enter his rest. Just like they didn't believe God when he said, you go into Canaan and I will be with you. And they didn't believe God. They were afraid, and so they stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. That's the illustration. They didn't enter into Canaan, into the promised land, because they didn't believe. You don't enter into Christ, into heaven, if you don't believe. That's the illustration. Wow. Here's another illustration you might not have thought of. And I've decided to put it in this order. I'm glad I did, but I'm just telling you I put it in this order so that you'll understand I'm doing it backwards almost to try to emphasize it. God rested. In verse 4, we're going to learn that God rested and people are to rest. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, you know this passage. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That's belief. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. You won't go to heaven. How did you get here? Well, I was a pastor at Five Forks Baptist Church, so that's kind of how I got in. How did you get in? Well, that's not how it works at all. Nobody is going to be bragging in heaven unless we brag on Jesus. We're not going to be bragging in heaven. Nobody goes, how did you get here? I was a good person. I was better than my neighbors. You should see my neighbors. No, no, no. Every person goes to heaven the same way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Every person in human history, from Adam all the way to the last one, goes to heaven through Jesus Christ, who is the only way to heaven. He was slain before the foundation of the world. And as far as God's economy of thinking, his crucifixion took place before he said, let there be light. Now, we don't understand that because we live in time. And God lives outside of time. God lives in what I call the eternal present. The past, present, and future all look the same to God. What's going to happen in the future has already happened in God's economy. That's why he can look at you and see you as perfected and complete. When you look in the mirror, you go, not quite. My life is not quite what it ought to be, Lord. He said, well, you just wait. When I get finished with you, you won't recognize you. You'll look more like Jesus than you look like you. That's what he's doing. But we think, well, no, don't. I have to work on that. I have to work on that. Yeah, that drowning person just working on it just doesn't get it, does it? No matter how hard you try when you're drowning, you're still drowning. You're thinking you're going to make it. I got to just do something. Let me just do something. And that doing something will keep you from being saved if you don't relax and let the lifeguard save you. Now, it's hard to have that conversation as you swim up to the person. Just relax. Let me help you. Let me take care. I'll save you. Just relax. When you're in a panic, you're about to drown. Relaxing is not the thing you think about doing. And when you're on your way to hell, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, and then somebody tells you that you're getting nearer death, you get panicky. So I was doing just fine till the doctor ruined my day and told me that I'm dying. Well, you were dying before he told you. You just didn't know it. Now you know it. You better do something about it. You know what the cure for death is? Life. Boy, am I brilliant. But death is a gift of God when you know Jesus. 2 Corinthians is for this purpose that God gave us death so that we didn't have to stay in this for eternity. I'm getting a new one. How about it? It's going to be exciting to see what God has for us in eternity. But you can get excited now, but you got to stop trying to save yourself. You got to stop. That's hard to do. I know it must be hard to do. Many people have a problem with it. Now, what I just said is what this says. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Bet you never thought about that passage referring to salvation. God created the heavens, the earth. Day one he created. Day two he created. By the way, some people have a debate on it. The debate is not in heaven. The debate is not in God's word. Was it six literal 24-hour days? I don't know. What do you think? It doesn't matter what you think. It was six 24-hour days. Read the language, and if you read Hebrew, you read it backwards, but it still says the same thing. Anybody read Hebrew? You read from the right to the left. Good. I didn't think anybody did. Nobody looked at me like they did, so I'm going to leave it alone. But anyway, you know, Genesis is in Revelation, you know, anyway, go from Genesis to Malachi. Anyway, but in Hebrew, just like English, evening and morning, what had evening for like 500 years and morning for like 500 years? No. Evening and morning. You ever seen evening and morning? You haven't been paying attention. It's been happening your whole life. Evening and morning. One day, 2 days, 3 days. When you got to the seventh day, God had created everything he was going to create, and he rested. He stopped working. He stopped creating. He rested. Why did he do that? Why is it mentioned? Now, God is sustaining everything. God's always doing something. He's holding everything together. But the example is given to us so we'll understand stop working. Somewhere concerning the seventh day, God rested on the seventh day from all his works. You rest from all yours. Isn't that a fascinating thing to think about? Now, I didn't write this. This is in the book of Hebrews. This is in the Word of God. This is an illustration from creation. From the beginning, God has said, I want you to understand, stop trying to save yourself. Just stop it. And it's every illustration just screams out, stop it. They didn't enter into Canaan because they were trying to do it their own way. They had to believe and they could enter into the rest. And here is God created in the Ten Commandments, the commandment to keep the Sabbath day holy. It's you shall work 6 days and rest on the seventh. It's as much a command to work 6 days as it is to rest on the seventh. They don't look at that one too much. But the whole idea is that you rest. And what is that all about? It is not about a physical commandment so that you'll understand, don't ever work on Saturday. Whoops. We kind of moved it to Sunday. What are we going to do now? Is this a Christian Sabbath? Is there a Christian? We have those discussions. And we miss the whole point. The whole point is not, are you keeping the rules? Are you keeping the rules? You better keep the rules. The whole point is, you can't keep the rules. Yep, I'm talking to you. You can't keep the rules. I can't keep the rules. So stop trying to save yourself. You're drowning in your own sins even when you're trying to do good. You're not good. Now, I don't mean to insult you, but I've been reading the Bible. There is none good, no, not one. That's a New Testament quote from the Old Testament. The best among us stinks. And there's a comparison to be made. Some of you are much better than some of us. You know, they're not so much better than you. You're doing so much great, but look who you're comparing yourself to. Losers everywhere. Give you an example. If you say, okay, we're standing at the Grand Canyon. Have you seen that hole in the ground? That's massive. So from one side to the other. I'm better than you. I bet I can jump further than you. All right, you two. I can do better than that. And you run and you jump, you go further out. But you were better. But you're dead. Flat as a flitter. That's the way it is. You might be better than somebody else. Who really cares? You're not good enough. And when you realize that and understand that you need Christ and you're not good enough, then now we're talking. And before you die, before you check out, you better be ready. You better be ready. Rest is for some. It's offered to everybody, but it's only for some. Look at this in verses 5 and 6. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. He keeps emphasizing that. You can't enter his rest unless you believe. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience. Disobedience is why they failed. They would not believe. That's why they failed. The illustrations are given from creation, from Canaan, from not entering the promised land. All that's given. And he keeps saying, they will not enter my rest. And it's giving up. It's surrendering. I use the word surrender because you just stop. Stop trying. Stop trying. Stop comparing. You know, I'm amazed at how many, sometimes people will think, I have something to do with this. I have nothing to do with this. I deliver the news, and you get the news. I don't have anything to do with writing it or providing the part that I just deliver. That's all. I don't have any, but people will come up to me and they think if they can fool me into thinking that they're saved, they are. Tell me how good they are, all the great things they've done, and how God has blessed them, and they're just like one of you. I'm not bad, I'm a great guy. And you fool me. And you die and you end up in hell. Has that helped you at all? Not at all. It's easy to fool me. I could think you're wonderful, and you're not. What does that have? That helped you a bit. Don't come at asking me to approve your life and all of the stuff. I'm not the guy. I work for him. But I'm not the guy. And how I discover, see, I would have been fooled into all of this a long time ago if I hadn't read the Bible. The Bible tells us these things. Have you noticed we use that a lot? The Bible? It's all I know to use. I can't come up with anything. It wouldn't be worth anything if I did. Rest is offered today. Look at that. This is an interesting emphasis the Bible puts. He again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David after so long a time, just as has been said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. This emphasis is over and over. Stop trying to save yourself. Stop trying to be a good person. Stop trying to make God love you. He can't love you any more than he does. He's offered his son for you. You need to surrender. Just stop. Stop trying to swim when you're drowning. Let him save you. Now, when should I do that? I think it's written today. Today. Well, you know, maybe right before I die, I'll quickly make a commitment to Christ and go to heaven. Oh, my. I've heard that one many times. People say, you know, well, you know, I'm not that religious, and I'm just kind of, maybe when I know it's about time I'm going to check out, maybe I'll do that, like you're going to do God a favor. Do you know, and I don't know, so I don't know if you know, but I think I know. What is it? You cannot come to Christ when you want to come to Christ. You have to come to Christ when he's by his Spirit convicting you of your sin, when he's drawing you to himself. It's impossible for you to come to him on your timetable. You must come to Christ on his timetable. And his timetable is today. I've met people that could not believe intellectually in their minds, they understood what I said about what Jesus did for them on the cross, but they did not believe. It's like they could not believe, because when God was pulling and drawing and convicting, and they just ignored that and said, I'm not interested. And now they weren't interested at all. How can you imagine this? I'm talking about, these are people on their deathbed. I mean, this man, this has happened more than once in my life. There's a guy, he's right there in the bed, he's not going to get out of that bed alive. He's going to die right there. And I explained the gospel to him and the offer that Jesus has made to save him. Knowing he's not going to get out of that bed, he's going to die just really any minute. And cannot believe, can't surrender to Christ. It's curious to me. I've seen it, and I thought, what in the world is going on? It seemed like you'd say, oh, thank you. This is great. This is good news. Thank you for telling me, oh, Jesus, save me. I want to be with you forever, Lord. I just love you for loving me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I didn't get that. I got, I'm not really right now. Not interested. That's a way to run. And I did get a little firm, he's not getting out of the bed and running after me. I know that. I said, what do you mean? Maybe later. Maybe some other. What do you? You don't have a maybe later. What are you doing? What are you doing? Well, I can't talk you into being saved. I can't talk you into anything. Today's the day. Today's the day. So, if you're here today and this is scaring you, this is making you nervous, good. You need to be. If you're not sure, you need to be nervous. But hey, now, I don't ever want to set you up. I'm going to scare you to death and set you up. No, I'm not doing that. I'm just being honest with you. But I'll never tell you the bad news. If all I had was bad news, I would never get up here and talk. But I have good news. You don't need to leave this room nervous and scared. The solution is here. God is in this room. He loves you. And he's been pulling at you for a while. And this is your day. Today is the day for you to come to Christ. And so I encourage you to come as God says to come. Rest remains to be offered. Canaan is a symbol in the ceasing from work in this passage. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. Joshua didn't bring the spiritual rest. It was all of that was a symbol of the rest that is the real rest. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Sabbath it means to rest. It's a Sabbath rest. It is not keeping a command by doing works to keep from working. Sounds funny. I work so hard at not working because I'm keeping that commandment. Really. Read through the New Covenant, the New Testament, and you will not find the command to keep the Sabbath like it is in the Old Covenant. You won't find it. Look for it. You won't find it. Why? Because Jesus is our rest. It's not about you keeping some rule so that you can earn God's favor. It's about you surrendering to Christ and stop trying to save yourself and come to Christ and believe in him. And when you do, you come to life. Everything, it's like going from darkness to light. It's like there's a peace that passes understanding. I'm okay. I'm going to be fine. As a matter of fact, I'm way more than fine. I have seen people that were not fine physically, and they're going to die, who were way more than fine because they knew Jesus. Some of them even say, Lord Jesus, just come and take me home. And whenever you want to do that, I'm fine. Today will be good. Anytime you want to take me, Lord, I'm here. And if you don't want to take me, then help me aggravate some people today. In a good way. Tell them about Jesus. Let them see Jesus in me. Lord, help me. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. That's the illustration. We stop resting from our works. So what are your works? They say, this is kind of interesting because I'm saying, I'm telling you what to do by saying don't do. Well, so Pastor, what do I do to stop doing? It's one word, believe. Now, believe is not just a mental exercise. Believe is when you're trying to save yourself and you're flailing about and you're drowning, is to just surrender and relax, just completely relax and let the person who's rescuing you rescue you. Say, Jesus, I die to myself. Just act like a dead person. Just say, I'm just dead. Now, I've interviewed a few dead people. I didn't get much information. Now, I wouldn't do it because it's not the best time to do this, but I use it as an illustration because you understand we're not talking about any particular thing going on. But you walk up to the casket and start talking to this guy and say, you know, hey, how you doing? He's not going to talk to you because he's dead. That's the way you ought to be. When Jesus comes to you to save you, you ought to just die and say, Jesus, I'm not telling you what to do, Jesus. I'm not going to give you my opinion on. My opinion's yours. What's your opinion, Jesus? That's my opinion too. What do you think, Jesus? That's what I think too. What do you like, Jesus? That's what I like too. What do you want to do, Jesus? That's what I want to do. But we go through life saying, Jesus, bless what I want to do. Bless what I want to do. And he says, stop it. Stop it. Let me do through you what I want to do. Just act like a dead man. And I'll bring you to life. And people will see me in you. And they'll be surprised. What happened to you? It's not what happened to me, it's who happened to me. Who happened to me? Jesus happened to me. Oh, that's beautiful. Let's finish this out. Oh, what a passage. Rest is entered into by commitment, by the word, and by recognizing God's supremacy. Now look at this is what these three verses say. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. It's a commitment. It's entering into the rest. It's surrendering. That's first. And this is a very familiar verse, isn't it? The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Whew. Two-edged sword, you know what a two-edged sword is? If it don't get you that way, it'll get you that way. You know what I'm talking about? I've never even wielded a two-edged sword. No one would let me. That might hurt somebody, especially me. But you go, both ways. It's very effective. Two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit. Both joints and a marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's surgery. Have you ever separated your soul and spirit? If you say yes, you need to have some help. I don't think you have. But God's word is so particular, so clear, so precise that when you don't even know it, and that's what happens week by week when I preach God's word and when you read God's word each day, it's what God does. The very things that you think and your motives are exposed and you get uncomfortable. I've had people get mad at me for, how did you know what I was doing? How did you know what was going on in my life? I didn't know till you just now told me, but hey, here we go. God's word will just, it'll eat your lunch. It'll make you uncomfortable. I know how to grow a church. Let's do it this way. Come to Five Forks and become greatly uncomfortable. This is the most uncomfortable place, the most uncomfortable hour of the week. I just sit there and I find out what's wrong with me. Yeah, I know it. Just slice you up, serve you on a platter. But that's what people need. We need to stop telling people they're all right like they are. We need to stop telling people that their lifestyle is okay when it's not. We need to stop telling people that they can do it themselves because they can't. We need to start telling people that Jesus is the only way and we love him dearly. He's the Lord of all. Amen. Amen. That's just the way it ought to be. Verse 13. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. This term, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open. This is a word that means it has the picture of making somebody look you face to face. And there's a word that has the idea there's an apparatus that you put around your neck, and it has a knife with the point right there so you can't move. And you have to look straight ahead. That's what God does to us. He makes us look him face to face, eye to eye. And he said, pay close attention. Focus right now on what I'm telling you. And every creature is not hidden from his sight. They will face him. Face to face. You won't answer to me. You won't answer to the church. You won't answer to anybody but Jesus. You better know him. Wouldn't it be just wonderful if you went to court and the trial's about to begin. You look up and the judge is Jesus. And he's also your attorney. I think it's going to be a good day. Now you're a little bit upset because he had to pay the price. But you're wonderfully delighted that he is the one who decides where you go. And when you're in Christ, you can't be any more in than in Christ. If I'm in Christ, where am I going to be for eternity? I'm going to be with him. Because I'm in Christ, and wherever he goes, that's where I am. In Christ. That seems like an oversimplification, but it helps my little mind. It helps me understand. And I figure if it'll help me, it might help you. If you're in Christ, you'll be with him forever. And you're in him. You can't beat that, can you? It's hard to beat. Hard to beat. God is so good to us. When we're drowning, he makes a way for us to be saved to the uttermost. He, from head to toe, from soul to spirit, every part of you just saves you. He just saves all of you. He changes your heart. He'll enable you to do things you never thought you could do. You'll just be a super saint. You never know. So what does that mean? I know what's going on with you. Nobody told me. I've just been reading the Bible. You've been struggling this week with some things in your life. And God has made a way for you to find a way out of that. And some of you struggle for things. I say this because I hear things directly, not from God, from people. God says, let me tell you what they're doing today. No, that's nothing. I'm tuned in, God. Tell me what they were doing this week. I don't even have to do that. Because you're human beings and you have difficulties. There are always things. One of the biggest things, and we talked about this in Sunday school today, is forgiveness. It's forgiveness. We're talking today about how you can be forgiven by God. That's the first step. If you don't take that step, you forgiving other people is really going to be difficult. You need to take the first step. You need to be forgiven, and then he will enable you to forgive. And there's some forgiveness that needs to happen today. There's some deep-seated stuff that's been happening. It's become bitterness. It's been so long. You just need to deal with it. So I don't know how to deal with it. I'm telling you how. First step, surrender your life to Jesus Christ and experience his forgiveness. If you haven't done that, what day should you do that? Today. Today, if you hear his voice. Do not harden your heart. So today's the day. Surrender your life to Christ. If you've done that already, you're positive you've already surrendered your life to Christ, you have everything you need to forgive others. And you can make your list if you want to. Some of your lists makes mine look really simple. What people have done to you, what people have said to you, how people have hurt you, I wouldn't want to trade with you. Your stuff may be way worse than mine. And I've had stuff. It's a decision to forgive. And the power to forgive comes from being in Christ. The Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you will take you from that bitterness and unforgiveness, to love, and the impossible thing happens. That you're forgiven, that seems impossible. But now you're forgiving others, that seems impossible. It goes together. And one of the things that you need to do is, if you want to forgive somebody else, pray for that person every day. Oh, Lord. And you can pray, Lord, get them if you want to. See, God filters the prayer. He says, Lord, take them out. Just squash them. Just take them. And God's not going to do that unless God wants to. You'll learn how to pray. You'll learn how to forgive through your prayers. But you make sure you pray for that person every day. You'll eventually start praying that God does something for them, not to them. And you'll become more like Christ. And you'll start serving them in your prayers. And before you know it, you'll forgive. Sometimes forgiveness happens quickly. Sometimes it takes time. And it depends on how hard a case you are. But that's God's specialty. So let's forgive. Let's do it. I invite you to come to Christ as we pray together. If you haven't surrendered to Christ in this prayer time, tell Him you want Him to be your Lord and Savior. And then tell Him that you want to forgive. And say, Lord, I will forgive. As you empower me, I will do that. See what God does. Let's pray together. Father, today we've come before you and ask you to help us to be forgiving and loving and caring. We know, Lord, that first step to enter into spiritual rest is surrendering to you, believing in you. And so, Lord, I pray for the one who's here today who is saying, "Yet I have not yet surrendered my life to Christ. I've been putting it off. I've been waiting, been thinking someday I might. But I understand that today's the day that I need to believe. So I've come to you, Jesus, and I ask you to come into my life. I believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sins, and I believe that you rose from the dead that I could be made right with God. And so, Jesus, please come into my life today and be my Lord and my Savior. Save me. I quit working, and I rest in you. And now, Lord, help me to live in that rest, that peace that you offer, that I might also be a person who forgives." And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.